my friend, your friend, everybody that listening's friend. Let's just sing that that again. Can we have the words here, Nancy? What a friend we have in Jesus. And if you're his friend, sing it to him.
What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, friend that treats us to bed.
Take it to the Lord in prayer. That's what we're supposed to do. But you know what I think the Lord sees? Well, when he sees me occasionally, I take it to him and suddenly I'm gone again. And the Lord's, you're going already? You know, I've started to learn, give the Lord time. Don't just unload ourselves. Let the Lord come back to you. Feel his presence. and be thankful that He's going to answer your prayer. Because He will. Let's sing there, number 454, Only to Be What He Wants Me to Be. Amen. If you love Him this morning, come from your heart, your love for Him. Worship Him in song. Amen. Only to be what He wants me to be. Every moment of every day. To be with the Lord. He is there. He definitely is there. But we've got to be patient and just feel His presence. Just let us pray at this time. Precious Heavenly Father, we love You, Lord, from our heart. Not our heads, our heart. If we're in love with a loved one, a husband, a wife, friend, it comes from the heart, not just the head. The head is to reason things out, but is to follow what the heart says. And Lord, we know that that's You struck our heart, Lord. Why are we here this morning? To worship Your name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. No other, just Jesus Christ. And You told me, Lord, one time, I love You. And I heard that, Lord, not through my ears, but in my heart. And Lord, we know it's real, and You will love us until eternity, and then that's no ending. We thank You, Lord. We ask You to bless this service, and the one this afternoon as well. Bless the people that listen in on the internet, wherever they are, their time of listening. Uphold them, Lord. May they feel Your presence right now. If they concentrate that they are listening to what You have to tell them, we all are here to receive a message. And Lord, You always have a message for us. No matter who we are, where we are, You have a message for us if we listen. So just be with us, Lord, we pray. Cause us to reach out and bless You. That's what we're here for. We ask these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen and amen. In His presence, This fullness of joy, number 494. Let's sing this to him.
In his presence, this fullness of joy, at his right hand, pleasures forever.
Praise the name of the Lord. I'd like to welcome visitors here today. I was given their names. But you know what? The Lord knows you. He knows you intimately. Where you come from, how old you are, what you intend to do. We even welcome one we haven't seen for a long time. Hey, Pessa. Lord bless you. Okay, well, feel welcome. We're not here for the church. We're not here for each other. Although we are in some respects, but we're here for the Lord. He wants to hear from you. And he knows what you're thinking. He knows what you mean. So just rest in him. Let's sing 257. There was a thirsty woman who was drawing from a well. Thank you. You may be seated this time, and we're going to have another hymn here. Number 211, I Hear the Savior Say. I hope we can sing this one because it's very, very nice. And it's very good if we understand the words that we're singing. Let them come from your heart. Yeah, it's very, very good. Jesus paid it all, is the chorus.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. God of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thy hope and more.
To hear hymns like that, you know what, I honestly thought, well, that was good for you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and it was like that for some years, and then one day Jesus came and tapped me on the shoulder and says, it's for you, and when that hit, something stirred in my heart that was so real. And that's how we need to be. Jesus had died for everybody in this world. Everybody. But his main issue is you. Whoever you is. He wants you to take him personally. As far as Jesus Christ is concerned, it's just me and him. But he includes you all. And you know what he wants us to do is love your brothers and sisters. If you love me, love your brothers and sisters. So reach out to everybody that you meet. What you carry is a gift for all. And we must share what we've been given. Let's sing Peace Like a River, number 389. It is well with my soul. And after what I've just said, that's exactly what happened. It was well with my soul. Remain seated while we sing this. I don't have any items this morning. So we'll just worship the Lord. And that's what He wants us to do. Did you know that? What He wants us to do is to worship Him. And I used to think, well, Lord, that's all right, but it's a bit selfish. No. He came to me and said, I am worthy. Nobody else ever, ever, ever could die for your sin. Only Jesus Christ, and He did it. So He's worthy to be praised. The Scripture says that, worthy to be praised. But we don't do it enough. Even if we did it nonstop, it wouldn't be enough. Let's sing that. When peace like a river attends my way, when sorrows like these billows roll, ask the question, what you've just sung. It is well with my soul. Is it? Or do I need to see more of the Lord? Ask yourself the question. May not be just people here in the auditorium, but people around the world that are listening to this service. Is it well with you? Is there a question still in your heart? Have I really come to the foot of the cross? Have I really told the Lord, yes, my Lord, I do love you and I know that you died for me? So when we sing this verse, think about the words and on the chorus, it is well with my soul. And then you can really smile. Though Satan should bow with the trial, thank you. Ask the question, it's got to be settled in here. If there's a question, it's not yet settled. But you know it can be. All we got to do is accept what Jesus said and do it. Then all is well. We have luncheon just straight after the service. Everybody is welcome. And we have fellowship when we're having the lunch. And then 1 p.m. service this afternoon. We have another in this auditorium. And it's a communion service. Yep, that's right. So you're welcome. And then just a reminder, 7 p.m. every Tuesday, 7 p.m. in the back prayer room out the back there, we have a prayer meeting. Now, we don't have any prayer requests here per se from overseas or any of those. We haven't received any. But I want to, as we pray, ask you if you have anything before the Lord at this time. You want to be able to say it as well with my soul. Well, if you haven't done what you need to do, that could be, well, the reason, give it to the Lord. You know, He wants you to come just as you are. We don't have to get dressed up and have to do this or have to go to that church or have to anything. You just come to the Lord as you are and He will receive you. And then when you know that and He comes in, you will have that rest in your soul. Now, if you've got anything you want to pray for, just hold it to yourself. Tell it to the Lord. Think about it. Rejoice in the fact that He's going to hear your prayer. Doesn't matter where you are in this world, and He will undertake. Believe it. Expect a result. Have patience and let the Lord have His way. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Precious Jesus, You are our Lord. You are our God. You are our everything, Lord. We know, Lord, that You called us Your sons and daughters before the foundation of the world that You built. You wrote our name, in my case, in my name, in Your book, in the Lamb's Book of Life. And there is a calling there, Lord, that we need to answer. If we have that need to come right, to have that rest in our soul, we've got to answer that call because we know, Lord, that that call is coming from You. It's not some church, some preacher. It's the Lord God calling us. And that is there for us to answer. Help us, Lord, to turn to You, to come to the foot of the cross and say, Lord, here I am. I am a sinner. But I know I can be saved by grace because of what You did on the cross of Calvary. And You will, Lord. There's no one that's not been considered, Lord, and God will call them, and they need to answer that call. Lord, there'll be people everywhere, Lord, that have pain, severe pain, annoying pain that needs to be fixed. You can do that, Lord. There will be people that have problems in their head, something that they can't make a decision about. They need to do this or the other, or should I do something else? They don't know which way to turn. You have that answer, Lord Jesus. Help us to give it to you. You said, bring all your needs before Him. Ask and ye shall receive, is what you tell us in the Bible, Lord. Lord, there'll be those that got to give a consideration for other people. Maybe they didn't say sorry on a certain circumstance and they needed to, they wanted to, and they didn't. Help them, Lord, to do what you want them to do in that case. There will be people that don't know how to tell somebody else that you love them and they also love this other person. We can't answer every question, Lord, but you can. Whatever the need, Jesus Christ is the answer to that need. I know that's true. Lord, you say that we need to have patience, or you have not because you've asked not. That's given in love, Lord, from the Lord Jesus Christ. He tells us what to do. Help us to concentrate on Jesus and not the wrong thing. We love you, Lord. We know that you're coming soon. And it is literally soon. This world is not going to last. But, Lord, you are everlasting. Help us, Lord. Help everybody that's asking at this time for that need. And thank you for undertaking. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Well, let's stand and sing another one here. How long has it been? Number 291. And again, it's the Lord calling. And He's calling you. Just see the things that we sing here is really worth knowing.
How long has it been since we walked with the Lord and told Him in your heart in a secret? How long may we pray? How long may we say? Thank you.
Let's just have a quiet moment, just you and our Lord. We just give Him respect. We don't talk out of turn. So often we can talk to the Lord but not listen. You have your moment right now, absolutely still, and then we'll sing, "Heavenly Father, I appreciate you." Thank you, Lord, that you heard what we were thinking. You knew where we were going. Have we done what you've asked us to do? Are you waiting, Lord, where we left off? We needed to come back to be with you, to walk with you. Help us to walk the way you want us to walk, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's sing, "Heavenly Father, I appreciate you," nice and quietly, but from your heart. Then Brother Howard will come.
Heavenly
be seated as Brother Howard comes.
Praise the Lord. Just to be in the presence of God is life, and life more abundantly. You know, a lot of people substitute what they should be doing. Maybe if I just come to church, that'll do it. And it does help sometimes, but really it comes down to you personally, as Brother Lee's been trying to express this. You personally have to be in the presence of Almighty God. And if you've never experienced it, I encourage you to seek for it and look for it, because it's life. The presence of the Lord is life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's nothing outside of Jesus Christ. Nothing. Don't listen to what the world tells you. Oh, you'll be happy if you do this, you'll be happy if you do that. You know, it lasts for about 5 minutes. And then you come back to that lingering and longing to have His presence in your life, to have that satisfying portion in your life. So may God grant it to us this morning as we come around His precious word. Praise be to God. So I wonder if we could just stand for the reading of God's word from the book of Psalms 107. Verse 8. You can hear the plea in David's voice. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. That's what He does. There's nothing can substitute that, the Lord. I'd also like to read from Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. May God bless the reading of His precious word. Shall we just commit this to Him? Lord Jesus, we love You with all our hearts, Lord. We really do, Lord. I do anyway. And I'm sure the brethren here love You too. But Lord, we just want more of You. We're not satisfied, Lord. I believe You have more for us. The reason we have a desire for God is because You're wanting to give it to us. And Lord, You've provided a way for us to come to this. So Lord, I just pray that our hearts will be and minds will be in the right place this morning. That You will come and minister Your Holy Spirit to each one. We ask it in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. We want Him to come and minister His Holy Spirit to us. You can't learn about God. You can never learn about Him. You've got to experience God. The Bible says God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's His word. And so, brothers and sisters, it's really important that we get in the spirit. And I said last week, people say, I can't get in the spirit. You're already in the spirit. Because you're a spirit. You're already in the spirit. You've got to yield to God. You've got to get closer to Him. You've got to wait on the Lord for Him to come to you. So I just want to speak about this morning. My satisfying portion. My satisfying portion. And may He bless each one. Now, everybody wants to be satisfied within. If you don't, there's something wrong with you. But everybody wants to be satisfied deep within. And this is a God-given desire that's placed in every human being to be satisfied. And the devil's task, oh yes, there is a devil. Very much so. His task is to pervert that hunger for that living, satisfying portion with other things that do not satisfy. These things do not necessarily have to be bad things. You know, as we talk about, you know, getting involved in things of the world or... But whatever these things are, these things take up your time. And they take up your energy. Stealing these people's precious time from seeking after God. And their meditation on the things of God. You know, meditation is very important. And you've got to be quiet to meditate. You cannot be running around watching your television, your cell phones, and look at all those things and expecting to meditate on God. Forget it. You've got to get in the quietness alone with God where He can minister to you. As David many times speaks about this in the Bible. So we're speaking about this satisfying portion we're looking for. And the Bible says, one of my favorite verses, Isaiah 26:3, I know it well because it's above my bed. Thou'll keep him in perfect peace, who's on their cell phone every day. Doesn't say that. Thou'll keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Isaiah 26:3, very wonderful verse. And Jesus mentions this in this parable concerning the sower. We can turn to that in Mark 4:18, which says, "And these things, and these are they which are sown among thorns," talking about the sower went out to sow seed, "and it fell among thorns, such as hear the word," oh yes, "and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches." This is what Jesus, who believes what Jesus said? "And the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts," more than one, "of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." So all that you were blessed with was robbed from you. Because the devil, it came in and robbed you. Now, Jesus said it's possible. So you've got to guard and protect the word of God in your heart. You've got to guard it with your life. It's so important, brothers and sisters. I can't even express the importance of this. To watch your walk with God daily. It's really important to wait on the Lord. Shut the news off. I'm telling you the truth. There's a man that went to the doctor and he's all upset and he was sort of very depressed and they gave him drugs and came back and a few weeks later said, "How are you?" He said, "I'm not too good actually. I'm going through a real trial. I'm just so down." The doctor said to him, "Put the drugs aside." He said to him, "Do you ever listen to the news?" He said, "Yes, I do." He said, "Well, you quit listening to the news for 3 weeks and come back and see me." That man stopped listening to the news, the negativity that you hear every day. He came back to the doctor. He said, "Doc, I'm just feeling so wonderful." He said, "What did you do?" He said, "I quit listening to the news." So you can just forget the news. I just say it's chatter, chatter, chatter. Gossip after gossip. Gossip. It's just like reading a magazine. It's the same character, different characters, the same stuff. Do you believe this? You believe it? Anyone else believe it? The news is rubbish. Honestly, it does nothing for you but drags you down. But Jesus Christ is our satisfying portion. Hallelujah. And so we see that, we didn't get to read that, did we? Oh, yes, we did. The lust of other things entering and choke the word. You know, some people become addicted to the news. I've had to watch it myself. Because the news is a form of entertainment, believe it or not. And people listen to, I've got to hear the news. I must hear the news. Shh, keep quiet, the news is coming on. I've seen that. My father used to do that once. He turned it on. Wasn't as bad as it is today, though. The news is terrible. Half it's not even true. Fake news, they call it. It's rubbish. There's only one sure thing. That's in the Rock of Ages. This word is true. Praise be to God. So as human beings, we try everything to be satisfied. It's just human nature to see if we can be satisfied with the world. The things of the world can be everyday commitments too. We're not just talking about the obvious sinful things. As I said before, going to entertainment and all that sort of thing, which never satisfies. Mixing with the wrong company. And evil vices. You know, I'm not talking to you. God's talking to me. And may He talk to you too, brother and sister. Mixing with the wrong company. Don't get amongst people that disbelieve God. I'm telling you the truth. They will drag you into their club. You say, they're my friends. They're your friends? Start talking about Jesus Christ and see how much of a friend they are. You say, I love the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad He's coming soon. What? They'll say to you. What did you say? You're my friend. Just speak the truth. You'll soon know whether they're friends or not. I love to talk about the Lord. Tell people about him. Talked to a brother the other day. He's a tradesman. I said, God bless you, brother. He said, thank you. He said, actually, I brought my father here to your church. He's from Fiji. And I brought him to your church. I said, praise the Lord. I'd like you to come too. Hey, we've got to tell them good news. Time's running out, brother and sister. Just tell them anyway. Don't get caught up and let them dominate the conversation with unbelief. So we see that these things can be time wasters also. It's more subtle than just the bad things. You think, oh, it's only the bad things. It's not the bad things necessarily. We get caught up and we think about, if I only could have financial freedom. Everyone wants financial freedom. And people spend days and weeks and months thinking about financial freedom. Or if I could get married, that would be wonderful. And have a family, that would be wonderful. Or have a beautiful home. Maybe a prosperous business would be wonderful. And do you realize each one of those things are fine? There's nothing wrong with that. They are good, legitimate things. But without Jesus Christ in your heart, do you realize that without Him in your heart, as children of God, we are men and women most miserable? And Jesus warned us concerning this very thing. This is an amazing parable. I want you to hear it clearly. I pray you'll hear this whole message through. Because it's really important. It's reality. It's happening in lives here, now, and overseas, wherever they're listening. He warned us in Luke 14:16. And he said unto him, a certain man made a great supper and invited many. And sent his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden. This is our Lord speaking. Come, for all things are now ready. And they all, after an invitation from the King of Kings. Is everyone listening? Say amen. Amen. They all, with one consent, began to make excuses. The most pathetic excuses you have ever heard of. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, And I must needs go and see it, for it may run away. That's a stupid excuse. I bought some land. I must go and see it because it may not be there tomorrow. It may run down the road. You laugh and say, oh, that's funny. But that's what Jesus gave the example. Pray, have me excused because I've got to go and see this land. Another said, I bought, paid for, thou mine, I have the ownership papers of 5 yoke of oxen. And I must go and test them, prove them. Why? You already own them. You can test them any time you like, but that was an excuse. Jesus said so. So have me excused from the wedding. And another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Cannot come with your wife? The most sensible thing, Brother Harold, is to bring your wife to the wedding. Most people do. These are ridiculous excuses. Jesus said they were. So the servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. God wants that table to be filled. And I want to be there. And I believe there's a reserved seat for me, Brother Keith. And it's got my name on the table, Howard Searle. Has anyone else got a reservation? You know, brother and sister, don't miss the wedding supper. Make sure that you are in that number. Because it's available to whomsoever will may come. And drink of the fountain of everlasting life. This is the greatest, glorious, most precious experience in history and in the world is to be sitting at that marriage supper of the Lamb. Don't miss it. Don't be put off, distracted by distractions. I'm busy. I've got this. You give time to God and let Him move in your heart and He'll give you that satisfying portion. So we see that each one of those things sounded pretty good, but when it's measured up against what they were offered, it was really sad. They had no time for the things of God because they were taken up with everything. Invite somebody to church? Oh, yes. I've invited lots of people. Would you like to come to fellowship? Come to church? Oh, yes. Oh, no. I've got my family coming. We've got a barbecue. And they began to make excuse. So they couldn't go to the wedding supper of the King of Kings. They were invited to come, but began to make excuse. I said they all began to make excuse. Quite a sobering thought. It's reality today. And so we see they had no time for these things. They were taken up. And they were robbed of that satisfying portion. The satisfying portion is to be in the holy presence of God. To be under that sweet, holy anointing of the Holy Ghost is everything. You can have the world. I want Christ. Who wants Christ? I want His Holy Spirit to fill me right up to here. I want to be a filled vessel. So may God help us as we think on these things. I've been exhorted in the Word of God concerning this time. I want to read to you from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14, which says, therefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest. You know, there's people spiritually asleep. They're walking around, their eyes open, but they're actually asleep. They don't know what's happening in New Zealand and overseas. They don't know the lateness of the hour. It says, arise from the dead. Oh, my. To God they are dead because they are blinded. And Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. That's a prophecy for this time. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Make good use of the opportunity God has given you. While you're still breathing and while you've got a sound mind, do the right thing. Help us, Lord Jesus, is my prayer. Because the days are evil. Now, people can be living right from the outside. We're just zooming in on the subject. People can be living right from the outside. People think they live right according to the word, that they'll have peace. And of course, every true believer will seek to walk right. If you love the Lord, you'll want to do right. Who wants to do right? Sure you do. But outward appearances are not proof that we are right with God. Can look good on the outside. Can get all the ticks. Yeah, you're doing that right. You're doing that right. Ah, that must be right. Well, I want to say to you, it's not always the case. It does not bring peace to the heart just because we're doing right. In fact, God said through the prophet Samuel, let's turn to that. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, which says, but the Lord said unto Samuel, now to me this is a sobering scripture from God. Look not on his countenance, nor on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. So you get all the ticks. I go to church every Sunday. I'm good to the poor. I help this and I help that. I'm serving God. And you may be. But that doesn't mean it's all good all the way down. If I do all that God's word says, then I will please God and peace will flood my soul. But unless we are obeying from the heart, unless we are obeying from the heart, His peace will not be a part of our life. We may be gifted, and God using you. And that's wonderful. But if our heart is not clean, God loves a clean heart. You can say all the nice words and they could be all true. But He doesn't look on the outward appearance. He looks on the heart. God looks upon the heart, He said to Samuel. Don't judge from outward appearances. Because they can be really deceiving. We may walk in the law, but with little love. A man can be anointed on the outside with the Holy Spirit, and the soul can be as dark as pitch. Oh, Brother Howard, don't say that. The Bible says so. Lord, have not I prophesied in thy name, and I've done wonderful miracle works. All those things. Anointed, yes. But there's something wrong on the inside still. I don't want that sort of anointing. I want it to clean me out from the inside out. Now the Word of God declares this also in 2 Chronicles chapter 25, verse 1. Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoadan of Jerusalem. Now, I want you to note this sentence. And he did that which was right in the sight of of the Lord, did the right things in God's eyes, but not with a perfect heart. You know, brother and sister, I just think that man, I just feel so sorry for him. Because he was getting all the ticks, as we said, he's doing all the right things. But there's a thought added to that. The Word of God says, but not with a perfect heart. I don't want that sort of religion. I want it to be true blue from the inside to the outside. If I do anything, I want to do it from my heart. I do not want to be a hypocrite. Going through all the signs and the motions. And you know what? God knows that I'm saying that from my heart now. I'm not just saying words, brother and sister. And God knows what you're thinking. You see, you're in the presence of the Lord here. You can't hide from the Lord. He sees everything. We are a crystal glass to God. And He looks at us right to the inside. Not with a perfect heart. Think of that scripture. I want to read that. You should read that scripture when you go home today. 2 Chronicles 25, verse 2. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. He had other ideas in there too. He had other ideas. Let me give you a simple example. I've given this sometimes, but I could say to Brother Tatu, he's just got a new car, you know. He's got a beautiful Jaguar. I really like your car. And I say to Brother Tatu, Brother, I would love to wash your car. I just like to wash your new car. I'd really like to do that. And so I started going through all the actions of washing his car. And people say, oh, he's kind. Brother Howard's really kind. But the secret behind the other intent of my heart, the intent. God knows the thoughts of the heart, but he also knows the intent of the heart. And the intent was this. He might let me drive it. You let me drive your car sometime. You know what I'm saying? It may look good on the outside, but inside there's another motive. People have another motive. They go through all the forms of doing things that look really good, but in their heart there's another motive. They have another scheme lined up. May God help us not to hide behind our good works. Hallelujah. Good works never bring peace by themselves. And a child of God is constantly searching. A child of God is searching. They are spiritually wired. You're spiritually wired inside to seek after God. It can never be copied. It's either real or it's false. If you're really seeking for God, it's genuine. You don't need people to vindicate you, to say how great a Christian you are. You don't need that. You just want God. I want more. Who wants more of the Lord? Oh, may He come and fill our hearts this morning. They may try the world, as I said before, with all its amusements. Try being religious, outwardly righteous. But deep down, they do not find that satisfying portion. If you're a child of God, you'll know what I'm talking about. Oh, that satisfying portion. That deep communion with God. That fellowship with the Holy Ghost. I want it. Who wants it? Say amen. No matter what the devil offers them, all dressed up, a child of God sees through it. They want that real thing. They are left dissatisfied, disillusioned, and thirsty. Where is God? I want God. Hallelujah. and still seeking for that satisfying portion, which can only come from God alone. See, Satan, he's the master of deception. He can imitate himself as an angel. Do you know that? Oh, yes. He can come as an angel, angel of light. But he's a deceiver. You check him out with the Word of God, what God's Word says about it. That's how you do it. And so we see his reasoning powers try very hard to influence the believer into believing that it's okay to do this and do that. But in your heart of hearts, you know it's wrong. That's what you should be listening to. He goes, oh, but this is a good thing. This will help things and you'll be a blessing. But in your heart, something's a little question mark. Listen to the question mark. Praise be to God. So no matter how he dishes up to the believer, he can never extinguish that holy thirst for that satisfying portion. You get down to the place where you're wanting that satisfying portion, and everyone says, no, I'm not for me, it's not for me. Makes no difference to you. You're going through anyway. You are not going to be deceived. You want God. Who wants God this morning? I like to see that response because that means you believe that. We don't want to have that extinguished holy thirst for the satisfying portion. The sooner a child of God comes to that revelation, the sooner they find that satisfying portion. People say, I'll be out of this church. No, I'm going to go to that one. No, this is a better church. Churches don't bring it. The Holy Ghost brings it. He comes into you and meets with you face to face. And you commune and fellowship with the Lord. And he's a wonderful Savior. He's my satisfying portion. He's my healer. Is he your healer? He's your baptizer. He's all that we have need of. Hallelujah. And that satisfying portions has eluded many believers for a long time. But when God shows you, you start seeking it out. I am the way, he said. I am the way. There's not two ways. He's the way, the truth, and the life. You know, look at King David, we read him in the beginning. His experience was king of Israel. And he had everything a man could desire. Had some strong support from his servants, his army, and the blessings of God. He was chosen and anointed by God's prophet. He really was. And David had everything going for him, as we would say. But David was also a child of God, seeking for that satisfying portion. This is what King David said. You talk about thirst of these words. This is what he said. In Psalm 63, verse 1. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. People cannot get out of bed to pray. I'm sorry if I'm offending anybody. I'm not trying to. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land in New Zealand. There's a lack of God in this country. We're becoming atheists. We're trying to bring in all the other religions. It will not satisfy the soul. He says, to see thy power and thy glory as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. You know, brothers and sisters, when you see the glory of God, there's nothing to compare with it. I just want to be there. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Hallelujah. And Psalm 6, wonderful Lord, Verse 1 we read, O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. This is David praying this. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. Who feels weak sometimes? We get it all the time. I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed. But thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave who shall give thee thanks? I am weary with my groanings. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. When was the last time you wept before the Lord? You see, brother and sister, it comes down to this. Do you really want it? Do you really hunger for Him, your beloved? Do you want to be with Him? Do you want His presence to come into your bedroom? You know, I've said to my wife, I got a little room out the back of our house where I got to pray every morning. And I'm expecting to see the angel of the Lord sitting there one morning. Who believes God appears as angels? He'll send His angel to you if you hunger for Him and thirst for Him and walk close to Him. He will come to you. He says, I don't know where the Lord is. Start seeking Him. Start waiting on Him. He will come to you. He wants to come to you. He wants to help you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And He will help another heart. God wants to be wanted. He doesn't want any false love or outside appearances. It's got to be in here. So we see David knew what he's saying. Praise be to God. He was a king of Israel. He had everything one could desire. Now he should know. He tested it. He's at the top of the rung. He had strong support from his servants, his army, and the blessing of God. He was chosen and anointed by God's prophets. We said he had everything going for him. But he was seeking for that satisfying portion. Blessed be His holy name. In Psalm 42 we read, I love the way he expressed himself, David. David was a king, but he had a heart like a soft heart. That's why the Lord's going to sit on the throne of David. He had the heart that pleased God. Not because he was king. He'd done some bad things. But God loved him. And forgave him. And redeemed him. And set him up. And He'll do the same for you. No matter what you've done, He will help you. The things you've done wrong, if you really want to get close to God, He will forgive you. Confess your sins, and He will forgive you. It says here in Psalm 42, as the hart panteth, that's a deer, a young deer, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, as the hart panteth after water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while I continually say unto me, where is thy God? Every child of God will come to this place that David did. The palace, the servants, his 500 wives, his wealth, his power never gave him that satisfying portion. No. Never gave it to him. Neither can this world give you that satisfying portion. Don't be deceived, brothers and sisters. Wake up. Don't be asleep. Redeem the time. Time's running out. The coming of the Lord is at hand. We got to get serious with God that we don't have a lot of time to do it. And His so-called glory and His wealth will never satisfy us. You can have it all. Wife said, well, what about you? Can you pay for this? I can't remember what it was. I said, take the lot. She said, here, I'll take everything. I don't want it. I don't want money. I want Christ. And I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Who wants that? Say amen. So David summed it up in this statement in Psalm 84:9. Behold, O Lord, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thy anointed, speaking of himself, for a day in thy courts, one day in the presence of God, is better than 1,000 days. You think, oh, you're having a good time? Get in the presence of God and measure it. It's way down here somewhere. It's up there. One day in the presence of God. He said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper. He lowered himself down to a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the woman. Blessed is the boy and girl that trusteth in the Lord. I want to read you a true testimony. It actually happens in 1958. And I pray it will speak to your heart because I see wonderful things in it. And I pray it will bless you and then we're going to close. I think we will. Unless the Lord does something very special. This is how it goes. Some time ago, there was, up in Indiana, two boys that were raised out on a farm. Some of you farmer people here know what that is. And they were just as poor can be. Farmer boys. And they grew up together. And one day, one of them got married. And a few days afterwards, the other one got married. One of them went into the city to live and began to play the stock markets. They don't want to play it today. And got away with his childhood teachings. Got away from his childhood teachings. Watch that, young people. Stay with the Word of God. Don't wander. And went into the wrong things. And he played them and he got richer and richer. Till finally, and remember this is a true story, and it's happened. He got richer and richer and finally he became a multi-millionaire, the little farmer boy. Then he moved up to Chicago and got one of the great streets and built himself a palace. Him and his wife ran to nightclubs and drank cocktails. They laid out all night. And they had butlers and everything to furnish them with everything that they wanted. And they thought that they were really living. But a man that lives like that has no peace. There is no peace to a troubled heart. To a sinful heart, there cannot be peace. If a man longs to drink and he calls that life, he thinks he's having a big time, it shows his emptiness. There's something missing. Take a man, he makes $1 million. He wants 2 million. See, man will never be satisfied with this world. Take a man that goes to a party and drinks one drink tonight. He wants another. Take a man that lives untrue to his wife once. He'll live it again. And vice versa. See, it's something that he's never satisfied. He might have $1 million in his hand, 10 million in his hand. He lays down at night with a drunken stew on him. He wakes up the next morning, haunted, nightmares, troubled mind. And you call that peace? That's no peace. But a man might not have even a pillow to press his head to. He might not even own a decent pair of shoes. Or able to have a decent meal in his house. But if God reigns in his heart, he goes to bed happy and wakes up happy. It's a lasting peace. It's something that God does. Well, this fellow had forgotten his teachings. He went to gambling. And came Christmas time, he thought of his buddy. So he wrote to him a letter. His name was Jim, the rich man, and John was the poor one. And he wrote a letter and he said, John, I wish you would come to see me through the holidays. I'd like to meet you, talk with you again. I haven't seen you for so many years. He wrote back and he said, I'd like to come, Jim, but I can't come. I haven't got the money to come. Well, a check came in the mail a few days. And he said, come on, I want you to come anyhow. So John got ready. The country boy put on a good, clean pair of overalls. You see, brothers and sisters, not in the things of this world. He put on his overalls and his caddy hat, his little coat of a different color, and he boarded the train. When he got there, there was a chauffeur sitting there to meet him with a big limousine. He didn't know how to act. He got in this limousine, holding his hat in his hands, looking around, drove up to a great palace in Chicago. He got out and went to the door and rung the bell. And out came the butler and said, your card, please, sir. He didn't know what he's talking about, so he handed him his hat. Don't you love that? He handed him his hat. That's all he knew. He didn't know anything about reception card. He didn't have much of this world's goods. He said, I want your card. He said, I don't know what you're talking about, sir. He said, Jim sent for me to come, and that's all I know. So he went back and told Jim, who hadn't got out of bed yet. He said, there's a funny-looking man standing at the door. He's dressed. I've never seen a man dressed like him. And he said, Jim sent for him. He said, tell him to come on in. He slipped on his bathrobe, went down the hall and met his old country friend and shook hands and said, John, you don't know how glad I am to see you. And the old country fellow standing, looking around in the room, said, Jim, sure have got plenty. Jim said, I want to show you around. So he took him upstairs and out onto the sun porch, opened up the window. John said, where's Martha? That's his wife. Oh, said, she hasn't come in yet. She was out last night. John said, how are you getting along? Jim said, oh, not much, John. How are you and Katie getting along? John said, just fine. Jim said, oh, is she home? John said, yes, we've got 7 kids. We got 7 kids. Have you got any children? Jim said, no, Martha wouldn't have any. Said she thought we'd better not have any children. It would interfere with the social life, you know. Unfortunately, that is so true today. Jim raised back the curtains. He said, looky here, John, said, you see that bank over yonder? He said, yes. He said, I'm the president of that bank. He said, you see that railroad company? John said, yes. He said, I've got $1 million worth of shares in that. And he looked down there, seeing the great gardens and everything, how beautiful it looked. And old John stood there with a straw hat in his hand, looking around. He said, that's fine, Jim. I'm sure and thankful that you've got it. Said, me and Katie ain't got much. Said, we still live in the little old split shingled house down there. And said, we don't have very much, but we're awfully happy. Just then, a bunch of carol singers, their voices began to come in, singing Silent Night, Holy Night. Jim turned and looked at John. And John looked up to Jim. And Jim said, John, I want to ask you something. You remember when we were boys and we used to go down to that little old red church down there on the side of the road and would hear them old country choirs sing them songs? He said, yes. Said, do you still go down there? He said, yes, I still belong there. I'm a deacon down there now. He said, what about you, Jim? You was talking about how much you own down here. How much do you own up this way? John, I'm sorry. I don't own anything up that way. Jim said, you remember just before Christmas one year, we didn't have any shoes and said we were more interested in getting some firecrackers for Christmas and said we went out and set some box traps to catch some rabbits to get some firecrackers for Christmas. Said, you remember that morning, that big old woods rabbit was in the box trap of yours? John said, yes, I remember it. And you got some firecrackers, went and got some and divided them with me. He said, yes. Now listen to this confession. Jim said, John, I'll divide anything I've got with you. But one thing I wish you could divide with me, John. He said, I would give everything I own. If I could walk that little old dusty road, barefooted up to that little old church again, and feel the presence of the living God. When the choir was singing, the old-fashioned country preacher was preaching. Said, I'd give anything. I'd give all that I owned, every share on the railroad, and all the parts of the bank, and this home, and all. If I could turn back again, and at that blessed peace that I had when I went down that old country road. And that's right, friends. Riches are not measured out by dollars. Riches are not measured out by big names and popularity. Riches are when the kingdom of God has come into the human heart, changed his emotions and made him a new creature in Christ Jesus, given him eternal life, That's the richest thing on earth. What a story. Judah said, I'd give you anything. Anything just to walk down that old country road by bare feet to feel the presence of God once more. You're not going to get it just coming to church. You've got to seek God and say, Lord, I want that satisfying portion to come into my life. He's ready to quit his millions of dollars. If I just have one more opportunity to walk down that road, hear them singing, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Brother and sister, that's how I feel. Who wants to get back in the presence of God? You know, brother and sister, we've got to get back to our first love. The Lord said we're parted from our first love. Our first affection for God has dried up. We've been distracted by the things of this world, the things of opportunity, the things of what people think about us. Forget it. Seek Christ. Seek Him and say, Lord Jesus, I want all of you. All of you. God's not happy with 95% of your life. He wants 100%. And then He can help you and fill you and use you. Shall we just stand to our feet for prayer? Lord Jesus, we do come to Thee humbly, knowing, Lord, the reality of the story of Jim and John. He'd give anything. He'd give everything he owned, his whole bank, his house, his shares. If he could just have one opportunity to walk down the little country road, even in bare feet, without shoes on even, to go to the little red church where he heard the word of God and he felt the presence of God moving down upon the people. Lord, I want that. There's nothing in this world for me. When the day comes, when you come or you take us home, Lord, the only thing that matters is our relationship with Jesus Christ. They can have all our money. They can take everything they want. There's only one thing I want, Lord, is to have you in my heart, my Lord and my Savior. Lord, many of us, like Jim, have wandered away from what we used to know, what we used to cherish, and we've been replaced with things that don't have any value. They don't last very long. The devil's came and hoodwinked us from chasing after you and seeking thy face. I pray, Lord, that we will come home, as the song says, come home. Lord, if there's any here today, in this building, while there's an opportunity, while, Lord, they're in their right mind, while they're breathing, to make a decision to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, Lord, I pray that you'll speak to hearts. We won't just put it aside, oh yeah, that's done. No, no. God may call you this afternoon, and you know, need to know your place in Christ and receive Him as your Lord and Savior and walk with Him and love Him and worship Him and praise Him. Lord Jesus, I come. Pray that you'll speak to us, those out there who are joining with us, Lord. May they also know your presence. May they seek after Thee with all their heart. The hour is at hand when this world's going to finish very quickly. Be left destitute, without God, without hope. I pray, Lord, that you'll give us an opportunity to walk down that old country road, Lord, and come and feel the sweet Spirit of the living God moving through our being. That love, that sweetness, the purity, no criticism of people, just a love for Thee, just wanting to help people. to find you. We ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. As we sing this song, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. If God is calling you this morning, you want to make a choice. You know what? If I could make a choice for you, I'd come down here right now and make a choice for you. But I cannot do it. Your wife can't make it for you. Your husband cannot make it for you. You have to make your own choice. While you have the opportunity. The day came when Jim had lost that opportunity. He had all the wealth, but he had nothing. John loved the Lord. Just poor, just a caddy hat and a pair of overalls. But he is in love with God. Brother and sister, if God is speaking to your heart this morning, I give you the opportunity, while there is an opportunity, to redeem the time. Make good use of the opportunity God's given you. If you want to come down here, it's not for me to change you, but just to make a, take a stand for the Lord. Put a stake down on the ground and say, on this day, Lord, I'm going to get more serious with you. I've just been a bit of a drifter. I've moved away from that first love. God's speaking to you as we sing this. Why don't you come home? Come home to our Lord. He's wanting you and He loves you. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling for you and for me. We are the poor, He's waiting and watching. He's watching this morning. Watching for you and for me. You have to make that choice. Come home. Hallelujah. Come home. You who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is born. Calling for sinners. You know, brother, sister, it says in that chorus we just sang, it says there, earnestly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. I believe God's calling this morning. I'll tell you one thing for sure, He'll never force you. He wants to be wanted. And if you feel a calling in your heart this morning to come to the Lord Jesus who died for you and His blood was shed for you that you may be forgiven of all your sins and granted eternal life, He's giving that to you this morning. Because I've been to church. I'm not talking about going to church. Have you given your heart to the Lord? As we sing the next verse, why don't you come while the opportunity is here? Why should we tarry when Jesus is leading for you and all of the world? Why should we linger and say to me, oh, Brother Howard, I'm not a sinner. You're not a sinner? We're all sinners, born in sin actually. But when you don't do what God's telling you to do, you're sinning against Him. Brothers and sisters, I give you this challenge very seriously and very soberly this morning. This is for your life eternal stake. Your eternity waits before us. We're all going to come before the judgment seat of Christ. So we must make our choices here. You can't make it afterwards. Now is the accepted time. Now is the time of salvation. So I'm giving that opportunity once more. So you make that choice. Time is now passing. Shall we just have one soul at the altar? Let me say it like this. I'm surprised. I really felt to speak that this morning. There's only two things possible. Only two things possible. And it's this. If God laid that on my heart, and it's the truth, it's spoken in honesty and sincerity, and people don't receive it, all I can say is we're in a worse state than we realize. Maybe it's all over. I don't know. I pray not. But people are not moved anymore. They've lost it. These are definitely the last days. And Jesus, if He comes next week, it wouldn't be too early. We're going to sing this chorus once more. The invitation's open for you. Anybody that wants to come. You say, well, I gave my heart to the Lord many years ago. That was many years ago. What about today? I loved the Lord years ago. What about today? You need to reevaluate your heart before Him. I'm serious, brother and sister. These are sobering times. Come home. Come home. tomorrow. The invitation's still open. If you want to come as we pray for these people, you come. May God bless you. Brother Lee, would you like to come?
Making up a decision, new people around the world are hearing it. Just think of the words. We're going to sing number 183. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? All these decisions. God specializes in things thought impossible. He can do just what no other can do. For you if you want it. So let's sing it. Quietly unto the Lord. Got any river you think are impossible? Got any mountain you can't did that, what am I going to do? Can I do this other thing? Can I do that thing? What am I going to do? Well, we've just sung. If we've got any uncrossable things, any mountains, any tunnels, God has a plan for you. A distinct plan that He knew before He built the world. He'll get you through if you make that decision. Let's sing it again. Got any river you think are uncrossable? Got any mountain you can't tunnel through? God's
oil in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I pray that you'll bless this. The oil represents the Holy Spirit. We're going to pray, Lord, that you'll bless her and grant her the desire of her heart. You know what it is, Lord. And we're here as elders of the church. Call for the elders of the church, anointing them with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. If they've committed any sins, they shall be forgiven them. So, Lord, we're doing what you said. We lay our hands upon our sister. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray that the Holy Spirit, the pillar of fire, will come down upon my sister in a mighty way, Lord. May she know the touch of Almighty God. Lord, we are victors in Thee, in Christ Jesus our Lord. I pray, Lord, that You'll give us such a refreshing and such a touch from God that You'll know that You've healed her and given her the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be Your name. God bless you, Sister Shirley. You go rejoice and say, thank You, Lord. You've done what He said to do. Now God's obligated to His Word. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
How about? We're just going to sing one more song, Mercy Rewrote My Life. And the meeting this afternoon is 1:30. 1:30 this afternoon. So let's just sing this now, and then we'll go to lunch. I'll just give thanks for our food we're going to partake in the fellowship, and then we'll just sing that, and then you may leave. Lord Jesus, we thank You for what we've heard today. We know it's the truth. Because we feel it in our heart, it's confirmed by God. You are a spirit, Lord, and You've just touched our spirit inside, Lord. And we know it's the truth absolutely and utterly. Thank You for the food we're about to partake and the fellowship. Thank You for this meeting and also for the one this afternoon. Bless the people that have been listening wherever they are at their time of listening. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing Mercy Rewrote My Life, and you may go as you feel.
Mercy rewrote my life. Mercy rewrote my life. I should have fallen.
Bless you.